We're in Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. Give you a moment to turn in your Bibles to the Pew Bibles, and we'll read this, then come back and see what God has in store for us as we continue with our theme this summer of water and the way that in Scripture that we see its importance, the lessons that we learn from it. So Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, somewhere between 3 and 6 a.m., he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." This passage was also used in Vacation Bible School on Wednesday night with the theme of "God Strengthens Me." And it's kind of one of those little things that God wove together, because I had selected this passage a long time ago and during Vacation Bible School week without seeing the curriculum yet for VBS. And so it worked well together. I had the fifth grade class, and one of the things that I told them as we started to look at this is, when I was in high school, I walked on water. I walked across a lake just like Jesus did. And they looked at me and they didn't believe me. And I said, "I walked on water." And so they kind of scratched their head, and I said, "Really, I did." And they tried to guess how, and they never came up with it. Now let's see if you all, can you guess how I did that?
Ice.
Very good. And it was Big Bear Lake down in Southern California, and thankfully the ice was very thick that year. As we got near the shore, it started to get thinner, and it was a little bit scary. And as we were kind of getting near the far shore, we started to realize that maybe this wasn't the smartest thing to do, but we made it safe. And, so there really was a sense that even though it was ice, and pretty thick in most of the places, we were still walking by faith. We were trusting that God was protecting us at that time, and thankfully, He was. You know, we have this ability to look at all of Scripture in a way that puts it all together. It's already happened, and, you know, the Scriptures, the stories here ended 2,000 years ago. So when we look at this and we've already understood about Jesus, and we have also moved ahead to the cross and the resurrection and the early church, the role of the Holy Spirit, we have that great vantage point. The disciples with Jesus didn't. Everything was unfolding before them, a little bit at a time. And trying to put ourselves in their mindset is not easy, because we know too much. Here they are in a boat. Jesus didn't join them. He wanted to go up and pray. Part of it is he was physically exhausted and wanted to be in communion with the Heavenly Father. And part of it, he had just heard about the news of John the Baptist being killed. And, you know, he had to work through that, in a human way, even though he is fully God, he is also fully human. And these things weighed upon his soul. So he needed to be refreshed, strengthened, and he went to pray. But as he was going to meet up with the disciples, he's walking on the water, and he meets up with them. Well, the first thing that we can see here, and the disciples, it unfolded before them, was a little bit more about who Jesus was. His divine power that was at work. Now, they had seen some miracles already. They hadn't seen any water walking. That's totally new. Now, they could go back to the stories they knew well from the scriptures of God parting the Red Sea, and then Israel walked through on dry land. They didn't walk across the sea. So again, this is new territory for them. And what they see is Jesus, who is able to control nature. He can control gravity and surface tension on the water. He can control the waves and the wind. And it's something that terrifies them at first. They're not sure. They're not even sure at first it's Jesus. They kind of think it's a ghost. It's a spirit. It's an apparition. They just have no frame of reference where to put all this. This Jesus who controls nature. And Jesus also shows the power of his sovereign nature, his divinity, by speaking words of comfort and calms them by just saying, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And it calmed them. His word brought peace. If I were there in the boat, and they were afraid, and I just would have said, "Hey, let's calm down." We wouldn't have calmed down because my words don't have the authority and the power that Jesus' words have. And so his words came, and they brought power with them. His sovereignty is also seen in the enabling power that he gave to Peter. So tells Peter to come. And now not only Jesus is walking on the water, but Peter is walking on the water. It's an amazing thing. The other disciples are looking at this and they're trying to put all this together now. And so is Peter. This is a pretty amazing thing. And so at the end, when everything is all over, it says in verse 33, "And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" So they recognized his divinity. He is the Son of God. They worshipped him. And that's a very key thing for us to look at. We can't just kind of gloss over that. Because to say that they worshipped Jesus is to say that he is divine. He is God. Because if you worship anything other than Almighty God as a Jew, look at that, then it's blasphemy, it's idolatry, and it's deserving of death. For them to worship Jesus was to recognize that he was God in the flesh. And they're still trying to piece that together, because what does that mean? So we can perhaps sympathize with them a little bit, because as we try to piece everything together, we have a hard time, and we have the vantage point. And 2,000 years of theologians helping us. So they are able at least to recognize the divinity of Jesus and to worship him. And so we're called to worship Jesus. If we want to grow in our faith, we will do this. We will worship him as we recognize his divinity. We'll also risk. We'll risk to do what Jesus says to do and go where he says to go. And so we see Peter. Peter looks at Jesus. Peter is a wonderful guy. I mean, to do a study on him. Peter is sometimes, through the Holy Spirit, through God giving him insights, comes up with incredible things that he either says or does. And then he can turn around just immediately afterwards and stick his foot in his mouth. And I think we can identify with that. You know, it's just, he's so, so human, so earthy. But Peter is the one here who says, you know, Lord, if it is you, still kind of testing the waters, if it's you, tell me to come out on the water. Now, notice he doesn't say, if it's you, I'll just get out and do it. He's recognizing he can't do it on his own. So, Lord, if it's you, you tell me to come, and I know I'll be able to do it by your strength. It's you enabling me. And so Peter gets out of the boat. He takes the risk and walks on the water to Jesus. So he takes that risk. Where are the other disciples? They're in the boat. They didn't say, Lord, if it is you, tell us to come and we'll come. They didn't see Peter walking on the water, getting partway to Jesus and say, whoa, Lord, I'd like to do that too. They were still sitting in the boat, maybe trying to put all this together, but they weren't willing to take the risk of getting out of the boat. Now, a lot of you in your quest groups have gone through the book, If You Want to Walk on Water, You Have to Get Out of the Boat. And great, great book. And in that, you know, it goes through this story and it reminds us, you know, if we want to walk on water, if we want to grow in our faith, if we want to serve God and go where he wants us to go, we have to actually take the risk to get out of the boat. We take the risk by trusting, just like Peter did, Lord, tell me to come. And then we're going to trust and do what God has said. And so we take risks. A lot of times our risks are small risks. And that's okay. And God sometimes might call us to take a huge risk where it becomes very obvious that the only way that we're going to accomplish this is by God working within us. Now, over the past several years, as Vacation Bible School has grown and more volunteers have come in, for some, that's been that step of that's a risk. And you say, I'll serve. I haven't done this type of thing before. And you've taken that step, and then you found out, this is really good. God was with me throughout this week. It can be a very exhausting week because you don't get out of here until about 9 p.m. And you find yourself at the end of the week going, I made it. God strengthened me. And to see these smiling faces, these children, and planting seeds of faith, it's an exciting thing. And it's all because people have taken that risk, kind of gotten out of the boat. Now, there's a lot of ways that God is going to call you to get out of your boat, which is your comfort zone. So you're safe in the boat. There might be the storm around you at times, but you're safe in the boat. And God is saying, come, come. But we have to be like Peter and say, Lord, if you want me to, and if you direct me, just say where you want me to go, and I'll do it. So that's what we're called to do, and that's one of the ways we grow in faith, is by being faithful to God's calling. It's important for our faith that we do not give in to our fears. Now, the disciples started out afraid, right? It's the wind was blowing. The boat was not making much headway. And then they see Jesus, and he's walking on the water. And so their hearts are calmed a little bit, but it's still kind of a scary thing. For Peter, who's out now on the water, he's come to Jesus, he looks around, and he sees the wind now. And he starts to sink. So what we see here is that winds of doubt are always present in our lives. Whether we're taking the risk or not, I mean, a lot of times we're in our own little comfort zones, whatever it might be. But outside of that, there is a lot of turmoil in this world, and there are a lot of things with the risk that we might take that would create some little bit of fear or anxiety in us. And so those winds of doubt are always there. Can I really do this? If God is calling me here, gosh, I don't have the training. I don't have maybe the, you think the age. You have to be a certain age to do it. And, you know, we can go through the list of what I don't have. The only thing that's important is what God calls us to do. And God will supply the strength. There's always going to be the doubts that are out there. So faith is asking God to help us to overcome our fears, our doubts. And then when we have those sinking feelings or the situation where we do start to kind of sink because of our lack of faith, we know that there's going to be a way out of it. Because those things do happen from time to time. We don't have perfect faith. Peter didn't have perfect faith. And later on, even after Pentecost, when they received the Holy Spirit in the fullest sense, Peter still didn't have perfect faith, and he still blew it from time to time, just like we blow it from time to time. So when we take the risk, step out of the boat, follow Jesus' calling to do whatever he says, it doesn't mean that we're going to do it perfectly, even though he's there to strengthen us. That's just the reality. But we do step out in faith and try to set aside our fears and our doubts. Then we keep our eyes on Jesus. See, that's what Peter didn't do. As long as he was looking at Jesus and he was going to Jesus, and it says he got to Jesus, he was fine. He was looking at Jesus. But when he started to look around and he saw the wind, which means that the wind hitting the water, causing choppy water, waves, he started to fear. And our lesson from this is to keep our eyes on Jesus. You know, we sang the song "As the Deer." You know, and in that we're saying that Jesus is our greatest treasure. You know, I love you more than gold or silver. Only you can satisfy. Jesus is our treasure. The writer of Hebrews tells us that Moses endured all the suffering he did because, and he even says the treasure of Christ, of Jesus, was greater than all the treasure of Egypt. Even though Moses had not yet seen Jesus, there was a faith in God that included Jesus in that. So the writer of Hebrews says that it was Christ. He saw the treasure of Christ. And we're to treasure Jesus above all else. Keep our eyes on him, not on the treasures of this world, not on the doubts that are out there, the winds that arise, the turmoil that's there, but our eyes on Jesus, and then to remember and recognize and rely upon his strength and his power and his wisdom by keeping our eyes on Jesus. Not an easy thing to do all the time. But when we take our eyes off of Jesus, we're like Peter, and we begin to sink. But here's the good news. Here's where grace comes in again and again. Peter is sinking, isn't he? And what does he do? He cries out to Jesus. And He just says, Lord, save me. And that's what we're to do. We call out for help. During those times where we just didn't quite trust God completely, or as we're trusting Him, even greater turmoil around us comes in. And we still then begin to sink and we cry out, Lord, save me. Lord, help me. Lord, give me strength. And that's God's grace in allowing us to call out again and again. And it's God's grace to help us. Because Jesus easily could have just said, Peter, Peter, why are you struggling in the water like that? When you could be up here with me, what is wrong with you? He doesn't do that. He lifts him up into the boat. Now, there was a time where he did it immediately, and the effects of it were immediate. But there are times when we cry to God for help, and we have to recognize that it is going to come in God's timing and in the manner that He says. Because we want to be delivered from the hard stuff. We all do, because no one wants that. But God might take us through the storms for just a little bit longer. And the deliverance that we might want might come in a different way that doesn't appear to be complete to us, and yet it is sufficient. It is what God is doing in our lives. God brings us through the storms, and in that strengthens our faith. There's a lot here in this story with Jesus and his disciples. And the calling for us is to be like Peter, to desire to get out of the boat, out of our comfort zones, and to say to Jesus, you tell me to come, to follow you, wherever it is, and I'll do it. I will trust in you. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you that you reveal yourself to us. And we have the advantage right now of knowing your sovereign power, knowing more about you, who you are, and what you do in our lives. And yet, Lord, there are times when we still do not leave our comfort zones because we are afraid to take the risk of going where you would have us go, the discomfort of having people look at us as though we might be strange or a religious zealot. So, Lord, give us strength, courage, resolve, boldness. And during those times when we falter, Lord, save us in your timing and in your manner. Lift us up. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.